You are listening to 901 Paranormal. I am your host, Carla Worth. We're going to do something a little different tonight. Usually I would have a guest on. And while I do have a guest on tonight, it is my husband, Gil Worth. Say hi, Gil.
Hello.
Tonight we're actually going to tell our ghost story, which is kind of a big deal because we haven't really told anyone but close friends about it. Maybe a few family members. But so here we go.
I love this podcast because... when I do the game show, it's like me trying to talk over Alan, so I have to be really loud. I feel like I'm on NPR right now, and we're just so low.
And the candles are lit.
I know, it's very relaxing.
We got a cold mood going on.
Drinking a good...
cup of Joe.
Big old mug of Joe.
For those of you listening, which hopefully is everyone in the world, we are sitting in our kitchen, drinking coffee at 9-something at night to do this podcast, so our kids will hate us in the morning.
I think we will hate us in the morning.
Yes. All right. So we're going to go back to the beginning. I have, you know, previous stories to this, but tonight we're really just going to focus on when we started dating and what happened after that. So we will call this the Mimosa House. So if you hear me talk about it before, if you have heard me talk about it before or hear me talk about it in the future, this is the episode that really kind of explains what I'm talking about when I say Mimosa House. So Gil and I started dating just a few days after Christmas, actually, or maybe even New Year's Eve.
So it was the beginning of 2011.
Okay. I was going to say 4 years ago, almost. You know, we moved pretty quickly. Everything in our relationship happened fairly fast. So I moved in with him about 5 months after we started dating.
So right about summer.
Right.
Yeah.
And, it was maybe 3 months after we started dating then, because Barbecue Fest was during when I was already living with you during Barbecue Fest.
How do you remember that? Is that just a Memphis thing where you're like,
no,
because, oh, it was like before Memphis in May,
no,
but
I'll
it was
get back
right
to
at
how
Barbecue
I remember
Fest.
It because something that happened at the house, I had to go to Barbecue Fest.
But it was after Zebra. You just remember things by events that happened in
I
Memphis?
I have a weird memory. I moved in with Gil, and I was really big into ghost shows at this time, and I don't know whether or not...
And I still had a roommate at the time, too,
right.
When you moved
in. Hi, Mark.
In.
I hope you're listening.
Because he...
No,
will...
that was Matt.
No, you moved in.
I moved in.
Matt moved
right
out.
After Matt moved out.
So,
and then Mark
he
moved
was
in
going,
2 weeks after
yeah,
I did.
Yeah, because okay. He was starting to be a pilot, and then Mark moved in, because Mark comes into play.
No one cares about this.
About what?
About your rambling.
Well, no, because Mark will come into play
yeah,
later
well,
on.
Mark will come into play.
So.
So when I moved in, it was just us two for 2 weeks. And I had been there all the time anyways, watching, you know, Ghost Hunters and all those shows that were coming on at that period of time. And Gil was in five bands. Was it five bands?
No.
It was like five bands. You were gone like five nights a week at band practice.
Universe. Black Set, Mountain Lord, American Gods. There's just four.
Okay. So you're in four bands. And so I was at the house a lot by myself, so I just watched ghost shows. But I started noticing things here and there, just like uncomfortable feelings. But then again, I was watching ghost shows all the time and just freaking myself out.
I concur.
So when I moved in, I brought this big giant, 5-6 foot mirror.
Was that the first big thing that happened, was the mirror?
No,
I feel like that there's stuff that happened before that.
There is, but I'm just talking about when I moved in. Don't jump ahead.
Okay, sorry.
We're buried, you can tell. So I brought this huge mirror that I had from a previous house, and it was the only thing left in the house. And I had experiences at that house too. It was in Glenview area, South Memphis, if you will. And I just thought I had lucked out because it was this giant, beautiful mirror, and it was awesome. You know, it was easily like a couple $100 mirror. So I had it with me when I moved in with Gil, and we kind of stuck it behind this hallway door so you wouldn't see it all the time unless you needed to, like you would move the door to look at your outfit.
And the door was usually open.
Right,
so
it was always blocking the mirror.
Yeah.
So I want to say the first big thing that happened was like, just the uncomfortable feeling that I got. The kitchen had a window in front of it, but it was covered by bushes, and I was constantly washing dishes.
And because we didn't have a dishwasher.
I just always felt uncomfortable. We had the trash can lid would fly off of the trash can. And we're talking about one of those big outdoor trash cans that you would put your yard stuff in, because Gil was very lazy about taking the trash out. So he would wait till it was completely full.
Well, we got that. We got that when it was just me and Matt there. It was right. Two dudes.
Right. So, and then we had that flag that you had stolen off a golf course. And yeah. it would.
I didn't steal it.
It would tip over head first instead of sliding down like something leaning against the wall would slide down, it would tip over. Before Mark moved in, I was watching a ghost show, and I was sitting on the couch, and the way that our living room was set up is that there was a couch in front of the TV, obviously, but to the left of the TV was the hallway door that had the mirror behind it. And I saw someone, and I can only describe him as a Nordic kind of guy. He was tall and skinny, white guy, very blonde, bright hair, and one of those like big noses with the knots in it, think like Owen or Luke Wilson. And he just walked from what would have been Matt's room to our room, or Mark's room to our room, just very quickly. Didn't look at me or anything like that, but I saw it, and I know I saw it. And so that I think I called you that night while you were at band practice and was like, oh my God, I just saw a ghost. And so that's when things really kind of escalated. Mark moved in, and Mark has a German Shepherd named Sable. And when he moved in, Sable, with most animals, you're going to have a transition period where, you know, your animal is kind of freaked out about the new environment. But we would keep our cat locked up in the room so Sable would have free roam of the house during the day. But Sable would put her paws exactly at the line from from Mark's bedroom to the hallway, and for the first, I want to say maybe 2 weeks, she didn't leave the bedroom.
Yeah, she was really timid.
She would kind of like
house.
Put her
even
ears
when
back.
She was in the rest of the house, she was very timid.
She was very skittish, and she would just sit there and look out, and she did not want to leave the room. And you know, at this point, we had talked to Mark about it, about the things that were going on, that things were kind of picking up, and Mark, being a little bit Native American, suggested that we sage the house. And I don't think that Mark ever really experienced anything, but to be
he never said that he did.
Right. He just kind of always, he wasn't there very much either, though. He worked all the time and had band practices and all that stuff, but Sable was there all the time. But I think that the biggest parts of it was like, all of a sudden, things kind of escalated to where...
After I thought it calmed down after we saged the house.
For a little while, but I'm trying to remember. But it couldn't have been very long because it just got so bad. Well, we'll just get to it. I mean, this was 4 years ago, and that's kind of why I wanted to do this rather
sooner. Yeah, see, because I was trying to remember.
I don't want to forget it.
I remember parts of the things that we're probably going to talk about, but I don't remember chronologically
right
when they occurred.
Okay, well, let's go to this. So when I moved in and had started having these experiences, I had talked to Gil about it, and he, you basically told me that you had seen a few things at the house before I'd ever moved in.
I'd really, before that, had only experienced one thing, and that was one night when I was asleep, I woke up and I looked at my nightstand. And there was like a little boy, like a blue outline of a little boy praying on my nightstand.
Right.
And
it was just creepy.
Yeah, it was really weird. And he like didn't move or anything. He was very still. And then I remember kind of laying back in my bed and being pretty freaked out. But then I went to sleep. So I don't know if it was a dream or not. I'm guessing it wasn't.
Well, I mean, you're not really the kind of person that holds on to a dream like that. Like, personally knowing you the way you do, like, you don't really hold on to your dreams. I'm not saying that like you don't have any goals or anything. I don't mean it like that.
I usually do have pretty crazy dreams. So maybe it's just because.
Maybe. But so when he told me that, I was like, okay, well, let's see what's going on. The big things, when it did start escalating, it got bad. We would hear, it started with me feeling something in the room and hearing things, and there, you know, in the middle of the night, like I would hear like someone whispering or growling. And I remember you waking me up one night. We probably were only bed for like 20 minutes, and then you were kind of sitting up in bed, and I had just fallen asleep, and you kind of patted my arm or shook my arm, and you were like, do you know where it is? do you feel it? And I was like, yes. And you asked me what part of the room it was in, and it was over by the vanity.
Yeah.
And you could hear it. Could you not hear the
I don't
growling?
remember the
I
growling.
remember like kind of noises.
I don't remember that. I remember feelings that we got in certain rooms, especially our
Our bedroom
bedroom,
was so scary.
but I don't remember growling.
Okay. Well, moving forward, like that was some of the main stuff. And then there was one morning I had awoken to someone saying a name in my ear. And when you're in that stage of waking up, you just kind of brush it off thinking, oh, well, I was just like picking up on the last part of a dream as I was waking up. So I didn't say anything to Gil about it for 2 weeks when we were at the Happy Mexican with Loxley, who I was nannying. And I was like, oh, I forgot to tell you this, that I woke up hearing this name in my ear, and it was like Tasha or Tarsha or something like that. And you were like, oh, you mean Tarsha? And I was like, yeah. And you said, we still get mail for that girl. And I was like, what? So we did. We went home, and you had this little nightstand thing that I had never gone through after Matt moved out. And there was mail for a Tarsha. What was his name? Johnson?
Something like that, yeah.
If you're
We were
listening,
just.
Tarsha Johnson, contact us. We have
Yeah.
some questions. And so that was just kind of like a validation point for me, like, okay, that was something that really happened in my ear. That's not a name that you can make up. I had never seen the name before, ever anywhere in my life, and would never even think that was a real name, to be honest. So that was more validating for me than
Just Marsha
anything.
with a T.
Tarsha. And the people we have told that story to, whenever I bring up ghost stuff, they go, Tasha.
Mostly Luke.
Yeah, thanks, Luke. Luke Hall of the studio podcast that no longer exists. Oh, pour one out for your homies. Hey guys, this is Carla from the 901 Paranormal Podcast on the OHM Network. I just wanted to talk to you guys about my brand new car that I just bought. I bought a Nissan Versa Note. It has that amazing new car smell. I just drive around in my car just to smell it. And I have an awesome backup cam. It came with Sirius radio. It's just, got the greatest safety ratings. I love it. So if you're looking for a new car or a used car, you should go see Sal Sanchez at the Jim Karas Nissan dealership on Covington Pike. It'll cut you a great deal. He worked so hard for me to get this car. Anyways, tell him Carla sent you from 901 Paranormal. And that's it. Back to the show. Another thing that happened to me was I remember specifically one time taking a shower in the bathroom, and I kind of talked about this on the episode with Tara before, that I would hear like a man talking, and it got to the point where you kind of take a shower with the curtain open, or you lock the bathroom door even if you're the only one there, because you're so scared that someone's in the house with you and you can hear him talking. And it was like real vulgar things like, oh, she looks so sexy, or things like
I
that.
don't, you never told me that.
It happened.
You never told me
I
that
really did tell you that.
he was hit, the ghost was hitting on
He
you.
wasn't hitting on me. He
It
wasn't trying to
sounds
get
like
up
you
on your
said.
woman. No, but it
I
did
don't, you
happen.
never, I don't remember you
Yes, we did talk
saying
about it, because
about it saying sexual
you
things.
would always say that you would hear like a radio turning on, like an old radio turning on, and that's what
Yeah.
it sounded like when I was in the shower, but it was talking about me. It wasn't talking to me, it was talking about me.
See, I could never make out what. It was. It just sounded like a radio was always on in the house, even, when
Well,
the power would be out or something crazy like
I
that.
would hear it talking about me, and specifically about me being in the shower, or like my body being wet or something. But that was really only one time that I can really remember that it happened like that. But I did, every time I took a shower and I was the only one home, I would lock the shower door, I would lock the bathroom door, and I would take a very quick shower and get in and out. And I
Those
remember,
ghosts understand boundaries.
yes, obviously. So, but I do remember being alone in the house. I would, just kind of pace around and be on edge and do whatever I had to do to get out of the house. And I'm trying to remember other things that happened. There was so
You
much.
want to talk about the cat thing
That cat thing.
with Adia?
Yeah, but that comes after the hospital visit.
Okay, well then you want to talk about that?
Yes, because that is like the main scary thing.
Okay, well then go ahead.
And this is how I remember Barbecue Fest. I came home from work And I was working for a cleaning company, a local cleaning company at the time. And I had just gotten off work. It was probably Friday because Barbecue Fest had just started. And this was the year that they had Barbecue Fest at Tiger Lane because Tomley Park was flooded from the.
2011.
Okay. So, and the Loxley, as I mentioned before, I was a nanny Loxley too. And his parents lived on East Parkway, literally across the street from Tiger Lane. And so I got home from work or whatever. And I was like, I want to take a nap. But this was about the point in time where you and I wouldn't really go in the house without each other. And that sounds really silly, but it was that heavy in the house. It was always heavy and like the air was really thick and it was just uncomfortable. So I got home and I was like, I'm gonna take it. I'm so tired. I just want to take a nap until you got off work, which is there was probably only like a 2 hour time frame unless you had to work on an event or something. But so I go inside and I go lay down in our bedroom, and our bedroom has like the blackout curtains, and the walls were like dark blue because Gil when I did not like have light, having light in the room when he was sleeping. So I go lay down in the bed, and I leave the bedroom door open because I want that little bit of light because we had this huge, beautiful like picture window in the living room, so I wanted that light shining in just you know because of the what was going on already. And I started feeling the heaviness and like the. Just like a breathing, and it was just real uncomfortable. And I laid there for maybe 10 minutes, and then I jumped out of bed and was like, I'm gonna sleep in the living room. Like, I'm taking a nap. Dang it, I'm taking a nap. And I went and laid down on the couch underneath the big picture window, opened the blinds and the curtains, and laid on the couch. And it wasn't a long period of time before I started feeling it in the living room. And this will tie the mirror back into like the mirror being behind. The door in the hallway, and the hallway door was open, so you couldn't see the mirror. But all of a sudden, I felt the presence standing by that door. Whatever it was pure evil. It was bad. And then I heard footsteps run across the living room, and my eyes were closed because I was trying to take a nap. And at this point, you don't want to open your eyes because something's there. It. I guess, and this is the hardest part of the story for me to tell because I'm gonna sound like a crazy person. And even to Gil, like how Gil stayed with me after hearing this is kind of amazing. But I heard the footsteps, and then all of a sudden, in horror movie fashion, I felt my body convulsing from the chest up on the couch. So basically, imagine like if you were having a seizure and you were just like pumping your elbows back to lift your chest off the couch, like that, but with no muscle movement whatsoever. Something was either pulling me or something was making my body do that. And I couldn't open my eyes. I could just see flashing lights in both my eyes. And then what sounded like 100 screams from one ear to the other, like almost in surround sound, just going around my head, you know, completely different screams. And then it stopped. And it had, I don't know how long it lasted, but to me, it lasted, you know, a good 30 seconds or something. I want to say I got maybe like 10 to 12 good lifts off the couch, but. Luckily, I had my cell phone and my car keys sitting on the coffee table next to me. So when it was over, and like I have no idea of the time frame in this, I just don't know. I just grabbed my phone and my keys and ran out the door and called you from the porch and told you what had happened. And you told me to go somewhere else. And you just said, I don't, what were you feeling right then when I called you and told you that?
Gosh, honestly, I probably thought you were a little crazy, and I thought that there, I don't know if I thought you were crazy, but I thought I didn't not think that that happened. I think that I thought that there could have been something else that happened, like you actually did have a seizure or something like that.
Right.
But I knew that you're uncomfortable, and I didn't want to freak you out even more or make you mad, because if I would have said something, you would have just gotten mad.
Right. You never
So,
want to tell someone that you don't believe them in a situation like this.
yeah, so
So,
I that's probably why I told you to go somewhere else.
right. And so I called Loxley's mom, and because that would be my first place to go anyways. It was close by and I was comfortable, and they kind of knew what was going on in the house after hearing me talk about it. So I called Loxley's mom, and she said that she wasn't home, but they have a couch on their porch. I was welcome to go, you know, hang out there till I go get off work. So I went and laid down and fell asleep on the couch during Barbecue Fest across the street. And I guess about 2 hours had passed. It was almost completely dark outside by the time I left, and I stopped on Highland, because this house is in High Point Terrace. Wait, it's on Mimosa. This is why we call it the Mimosa House. So I stopped at Highland and Southern at the gas station and ran into my friend, oddly nicknamed Spirit. And Spirit was on his bicycle and stopped me, and he was like, "Are you okay? You look like you're dead. Like, what is wrong with you?" And I was like, "I've just had a really weird day." But just knowing that, like, I like physically looked that way, to where obviously something was wrong with me.
You also just slept on a couch outside.
So that's true.
I could have attributed.
But I was so tired and so physically drained. Whatever had happened to me or whatever was done to me completely drained everything out of me. And so when you got home, I came back to the house and we went in the house together. And we talked about the rational explanations for what had happened, like a seizure. So we took me to the doctor. Do you want to say it? Do you want to say what kind of doctor it was?
It was a 10 care doctor.
Yes, because I was on 10 care at the time.
And I'm not, don't mean anything by it. A lot of people have 10 care.
You want to discredit her.
I don't want to discredit
her. You're saying that to discredit her.
No, I made fun of you.
This is a doctor who helped me get through finding out that I had vitiligo and how to handle it, and had high blood pressure and how to handle that. So.
Okay. And the only time I ever made fun of her was when she told you this. Give or say the diagnosis that she gave you.
First off, we went in saying, you know, I had a seizure. And she was saying, well, no, that couldn't have been a seizure, because if you had had a seizure, you would not remember it. You would wake up and wonder where you were. She said, you have an actual memory of what happened during this, so it could not have been a seizure. So that's how we knew it was that. She did, you know, give me a full physical, and I mean a full physical, very uncomfortable one. And we were still like in that like honeymoon phase, and Gil got to see some horrible things done to me at the doctor that day. Yep. So
it was just one of those telling moments where we just got
you're either all in or you're not. So basically, it boils down to, you know, I can give you an MRI, a CAT scan, but I don't think we're going to find anything. And then she said, what you're describing sounds like something out of that Paranormal Activity movie. And then me and Gil just my jaw dropped. I don't know if yours did, but I was like,
I was pretty blown away that she said that. It's a doctor.
Because we had not mentioned anything about the paranormal side of it. We just, that one specific event, and this is what happened, and this is how that happened, and not anything else about it. Nothing about the paranormal side of it. And so my jaw dropped and I was like, oh my God, you're not going to believe this. But I think it was paranormal and this is why. And we told her the story and she was like, you need to get that girl out of there. You need to get your house blessed, blah, blah, blah. So that might have been when we saged the house. That might have been when things calmed down after that.
Okay.
Because the next thing I remember is your birthday in July.
What do we do for my birthday?
We had the 90s themed birthday party at Escape Alley that I threw for you.
Yeah.
But after that, we got home. And this is where the mirror comes more into play than anything else. So this mirror, like I said, was like 6 foot tall. It's probably like three to four feet wide.
You know what's really weird?
What?
We actually took a picture in front of it. Of us
on your birthday,
on my birthday,
before we left the house.
I'll post that, yes, on the
so you can see the mirror.
Yeah, go to OAM Audio, search OAM Audio on Instagram, one word, and I'll tag #901paranormal on it.
Awesome. So we get home and Mark is sitting on the couch, and I don't know who was drinking chocolate milk, but I just remember being really mad that you stumbled into the table and spilled chocolate milk. And this is
this is insane that you remember stuff like this.
I have
this,
a photographic memory.
I don't remember that at all.
Well, you were also drunk. I didn't drink that
It was
night.
My birthday.
I know. So, and then Sable was on the floor, and I think some of the, even the chocolate milk like splattered onto Sable, and Sable got up and wandered off over underneath Mark's legs. But so you're walking through the living room, and then you walk through the hallway door, and I'm right behind you, and literally just half a second, that mirror, which is leaned up against the wall, and it's a heavy mirror.
Yeah.
Leaned up against the wall, the top comes off of the wall, hits the door, knocks the door closed right behind you, and then hits a beautiful like mirror shelf. I don't even know what to call it. This huge shelf with mirrors behind it, off the wall, down onto my desk. And it's just this like this domino effect of things from this mirror jumping off of the wall. And it wasn't like you hit a floorboard because or anything like that, because this mirror is so heavy that it would have slid down. It shouldn't have jumped off because it was leaned up against the wall. It should not have jumped top side over. You know, if you think about it, like if you were to hit a floorboard, it would have sunken down. Like there is no, for me, logical explanation for this mirror doing this.
No, and I agree. There really wasn't. And
I mean, and I Mark think that was in like the room. Only thing that Mark even saw. And he was just kind of like, that was weird. But if you know Mark Brake, then you know that Mark doesn't really have an excited side of him.
No, he gets excited.
Well, I mean, yeah, but not like
sometimes.
Yeah, but he's not really. He's not very animated anyway.
Yeah.
So he was just like, that's weird. But so that's all I really remember from that night. But so Mark moves out, because we're, you know, getting serious. We had talked about getting married. We weren't engaged yet. We had talked about getting married. We wanted Adia to move in. So Mark, you know, we knew it was time for Mark to go, but we did have a conversation about what would happen if it messed with Adia. And there was a lot of things where it was just like, Gil would yell out, you know, why are you messing with her? You need to mess with someone of your own size.
Probably when I've been drinking or something like that.
Because you've manned up to the ghost. And which, for anyone listening that knows anything about the paranormal, that is the worst thing that Gil could have done.
Sorry, guys.
Is invited it to attack him. So we move Adia's stuff in, and it's fairly quiet for a while. This is Carla from the 901 Paranormal Podcast on the OHM Network talking to you about Lyft. I don't know if you guys know about the ride-sharing company called Lyft, but I just took my first Lyft recently and I fell in love with the ride-sharing service. I was offered fresh baked cookies from a personal chef, who was also my driver, candy, bottled water, and a super friendly fist bump when I got in the car. I sat in the front seat and they gave me a little pound. My driver knew everything about the events going on that night, so we were able to just kind of like bar hop, jump around, parents' night out kind of thing. He even gave us little historical facts about the buildings that we passed en route to our destinations. I paid 30% less than I would have with a cab each time, I think, to get from like five different bars, and maybe paid like $20 for the entire night, which is pretty amazing. And there was always someone close by, so there was always someone there to pick us up in a very awesome time frame, like just enough to pay our tab to get out. So right now I am offering you a free ride through my to try out Lyft for the first time. So what you need to do is you need to download the app on the Android or iPhone, or I think they call it iTunes. I know nothing about technology. Download the app on iTunes or Android. You'll go in and put all your information in, and you will go to the payment section. There'll be an offer to put in a code. You'll put in Carla, that's C-A-R-L-A 534. That will get you 10 lifts up to $25, whichever comes first, to just try it out. You know, I think that you'll fall in love with it. If you've ever had too much to drink, please use this service. Give them a call. There's always someone there to pick you up. It is super reliable. They'll get you home safe. And you'll do it in a nice car. Just give it a shot. Make sure you use the code Carla, C-A-R-L-A, 534. And all you have to do after that is request a Lyft. So back to the show. And then in September, my daughter turned 5. And so we have this cool birthday party for somebody. Got her this toy that is a Barbie cat vet or something. And the cat gives birth to a litter of kittens and they go down the slide. Anyways, it makes this noise. It goes meow, meow, meow. We actually still have the toy and I hate it every time it goes off for this. But Adia, the next day after her birthday party, Gil's at work and your mom is at Heartsong because she works there. And me and Adia were getting ready to go to Heartsong because they were having like a end of the summer party with a bunch of blow up inflatable moon bouncy thingies. And, so Adia's in the living room playing with the cat toy and I'm on the computer, which is, you know, basically the same room with a half wall. I'm sitting at the computer trying to figure out if we're actually going to go do this thing. And Adia's playing with the cat toy. You know, if I just leaned my head like a foot over to the left, I could have seen her. So I hear her, you know, playing or whatever. And then I hear the cat toy go meow, meow, meow. And I'm like, oh, that toy. But then I hear it go off again. And Adia says, did you say that? And I said, did I say what? And she just says, nothing. And then I hear the cat toy go off, meow, meow, meow. And it doesn't take much for this toy to go off. So then she said, "Mommy, did you hear that?" And I'm like, "Hear what, Adia?" And at this point, I'm like, you know, everything is standing up in my body. I'm like, "Oh God, here we go." And then I hear the last time the toy go off, meow, meow, meow. And then I hear meow, meow, meow. Just like that, not kidding at all. My daughter jumps up, runs and jumps in my lap. And I was like, "Hey, baby, let's go to church." And we did. And do you remember me calling or texting you about it while you were at work?
Oh, yeah, I do. Of course, I remember that.
And so it was like it just messed with Adia. And that's kind of like the moment where I think I realized that we had no control. Like, we had no control at all. She didn't like sleeping in her room, which...
She still doesn't.
Well, yeah, but that's because she shares a room with her little sister now. But and so I don't remember really much happening after that. Oh, the mirror in the bedroom.
I don't remember anything in the mirror in the bedroom.
Well, it's not so much about what we saw in the mirror. We took that big mirror and put it in the bedroom. And I don't remember why we did that. We winked at each other. We put the big mirror in the bedroom. Anyways, we left it in there for a little while. But things had calmed down, so I wasn't really worried about having, you know, a portal, which is what mirrors can be, in the bedroom. But it did get to the point where me and you would both be really uncomfortable with the mirror by the bed. And I remember we didn't really like talk about it until one day you were like, "I don't really like that mirror being here. I feel like I'm going to see a face in it." And I was like, "Me too." And like, even at night, I would sleep on the other side just so my back would be to it, just because I was afraid to look at it. So that's when we moved it out of the bedroom. But I just thought it was weird that we both had that weird thing for the mirror.
Yeah.
And especially because I had had previous experiences in a house long before I dated you, which is where I got that mirror from. And like I said, it was the only thing
you had ghost experiences from that house too?
Yes.
Like what?
So the house
I remember you saying that you would hear things in the hallway, right?
Yeah, I would hear running in the hallway back and forth. And sorry to say this, but my ex-boyfriend was there for one of those. And Adia was at her dad's house.
Let's get him on.
Heather was somewhere, and I was the only one in the house with him. And we heard, you know, footsteps, like a little kid running up and down the hall. And I even made him go and check it out and just be like, you know, we even went in the attic and in the basement, like to just like, "Oh, is there like a squirrel loose in our house or something like that?" And we never ended up finding anything. But I was never in that house very much as a single woman. I was out on the town unless my daughter was
okay,
there.
Okay, let's get into
back
it.
Back in my glory days. But that was it. But the mirror was in the hallway too at that house. We never moved it from its original location until I moved out of the house. And then it was in storage till I moved in with you.
Yeah.
We went through Christmas and everything. We got married and we didn't really have any problems through that. And then we found out about Owen. We found out we were pregnant with Owen, and that's mm-hmm. we moved into your parents' house, and so that was.
The and we end. Sold the mirror.
Oh, we had a yard sale, and we sold the mirror by to some. But this lady was looking at it, and we were like, "Yeah, you can have like $20, whatever, just get rid of it." And
she was
no. Then okay. Those two guys from the
They had a pawn shop.
A pawn shop.
And they were gonna buy it.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, they bought us out pretty much on the yard sale. So that lady was like, "Did they just buy that mirror?" And we said, "Yeah, but you probably didn't want it because it was haunted." And she was like, "What'd you say?"
I don't remember.
But it was something along the lines of like, "Ooh, I believe in that stuff."
Yeah, she said, "Ooh, I believe that," and that she was glad she didn't buy it.
Yeah, and we're like, "Yeah, you don't want that mirror." So sorry to whoever has that mirror now. Maybe, I guess.
God, I wonder. I only hope they're having experiences too.
You hope they are?
Yeah.
Do you hope they're being tortured? Do you
no,
remember?
No, I don't.
How,
I don't want them to be.
Do you remember
tortured?
How
okay,
little
okay,
we
fair
sleeped?
Enough. Fair enough.
And I when I worked at Escape Alley too, when all this was going on, I remember Joe, my boss, like I'd come in to like clean up before an event, and she would be like, "You look like you haven't slept in days." And we didn't. We weren't sleeping for like a little bit of that time. Like
we were still sleeping more than we sleep now, but yeah.
I don't think so. I was terrified. It was almost like I had to be Like my body had to be so exhausted to go to sleep that
yeah.
I fell asleep because you're on edge all the time and the heaviness is everywhere in the house. And like I said, there were periods of times where I wouldn't go in the house unless you were there to go in with me just because I was tired of dealing with it.
Yeah, I didn't like going in the house by myself either.
So to bring you up to date on the story of the Mimosa House, do you want to talk about Mia's birthday party?
I mean, we can't. There wasn't a lot of things that happened.
I feel like it's like, worth mentioning.
Okay, well,
especially
yeah.
with the recording that we caught.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I don't even know if I still have it.
I think you deleted it, and I'm okay with that because I don't ever want to hear that sound again, but this is what happened. Mia's birthday, our niece and child, kind of, our foster child, she was having her first birthday. It was a big ordeal. The night before her party, which would have been at her actual birthday because the party was the day after her birthday.
Yeah.
We have this musical note clock hanging in our kitchen. And I, you know, had recently painted the kitchen and I put the clock up there myself. And I know that it was pretty sturdy in there. You know, it would have taken like, you had to have like banged the wall for it to come out or something like that. But I laid down in bed and Gil was still up and I heard the crash. And you were like, oh, the clock just broke. And I was like, oh, well, that happens.
I'm pretty sure earlier that day is when the kids' trays were on the sink.
No, that was the next day.
Okay.
So that happened as I was going to bed. So as I was waking up, you got up with the kids. And you walked through the kitchen because Owen had somehow snuck his way into our room over the night. And so you walked through the kitchen with Owen into the living room. And this is your part of the story to tell because I was still in bed.
Oh, well, I had the trays.
Their
high chair trays were in the sink.
I had washed them. They were leaning against the fish tank on the counter.
Okay. And yeah, it was weird because I walked through the kitchen into the living room and then they just flew off of the
both of them.
Yeah, they both did. And they were a good like 4 feet away from.
And and again, this is one of those things where it was propped up against something. You know, if it had slid down, it would have just fallen off the counter and bounced over there. But it flew.
Yeah, it kind of did fly.
Yeah.
Was this around the time?
This was on Mia's birthday party.
Did I get the scratches on my back around that time too?
You did. I don't think it was like, I don't remember. We took pictures of it. They should be dated on your phone. Didn't we take pictures of those?
I don't remember. They might be on your phone.
I forgot about the scratches. Okay, so I get up and I hear the noise or whatever, and I'm like, okay, that's weird. is that when we decided to do like the EVP thing?
No, it was when you're cleaning and the picture of me, my dad, my grandfather,
and
Owen
were sideways.
No, we were already
doing the EVP during that. We were already doing the EVP.
Oh, you're right, because we looked over.
There was something else that happened.
One of the pictures fell, I thought.
I don't know. Well, I remember being like, all right, look, it's Mia's birthday. Y'all don't mess with us. We got stuff to do today. And so we were like, well, let's do an EVP real quick, you know, before the party and just like try to get this figured out. Like, let's just see what's going on, almost just like just to see. And so we're standing in the living room and we have this big gallery of like family photos on the wall. And I had just dusted the pictures yesterday or the day before because it was, you know, I was getting ready for the party. So I dusted them. And there was one photo while we're doing the EVP. I'm looking at the photos and I noticed that there's a photo of 4 generations of Gil's family, you, your father, Owen, and your grandfather all together. And it's turned perfectly sideways. Was it not perfectly sideways?
Yeah, and it was weird because it was on a nail. It was like it was the way, you know, we don't really do a good job of putting our pictures up. We just put nails on the wall.
We're lucky they stay up.
Yeah, and this it would have just fallen off.
Yeah, and this is not, the kids couldn't reach it, you know. It was just so weird. So like if we have the recording at all still, you'll hear me go, look at the picture. And I like, there's a moment where we're like, oh my god. But we asked the question, did you drop the clock or did you make the clock fall?
No, it was when we asked, did you knock the kids' trays over?
Oh, I thought it was a clock.
No,
and it said what did it say?
I can't remember.
It was either uh-oh or oh. When I listened to it, it sounded like someone was remembering that they had done that. whatever the noise was, it was like, oh, almost
I'll have to look through my audio files to see if I can find that.
Okay. And then, so we were like, okay, we're done with this for today. Like, this is freaking me out. So Gil took the kids out to play while I got the house ready for the party. And we had already had some trouble with this one toy, the DJ toy, that we've had trouble with it going off when we first moved in.
Yeah.
To this house in Cooper Young. And basically, it's this little, like, stand table for, you know, toddlers to stand at and play at. And there's this one part where it's like a guitar and you have to, like, roll this thing really hard for it to go, like, bow chicka bow bow or whatever it does. And you have to kind of roll a few times for it to make the noise. Back me up, Gil.
Yeah, that's okay. True. It has like a little roller on it.
But it does one spin all the way around doesn't really make it go off.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because remember, you messed with it and we got to the point where we just turned it off and we just left it off because it would do it so much.
Yeah.
But so, and that might be something that goes on with the toy, and I've never looked at the reviews on it or anything, but so that day, you know, we had gone a long time without this noise going on, and then I'm sitting in the living room like wrapping presents and I hear the freaking thing go bow chicka bow bow or whatever it's doing, and I just was like, dude, not today, out loud. I'm so fed up with this ghost or these ghosts or whatever. It was just like, not today. It's my niece's birthday. And I think we even like thought maybe it was a family member coming through being supportive of Mia turning one or something like that. We even played with that idea. And that, so that toy went off a few more times and I just had you go in there and turn it off after that. So Mia's party goes without a hitch and everything's fine. And then at night when the kids are in bed and everything's quiet, we turn off all the appliances and all that stuff and all the electronics rather. And we sit down to do one more EVP session. And so we rehash the old questions, you know, are you a family member? Did you do the clock? Did you do the picture frame? We didn't get anything until I had the bright idea to ask, did you follow me from Mimosa? Because I've heard that, you know, houses can be haunted, but so can people. And I was like, well, I've had so many experiences throughout my life that this has to be, it can't be coincidental that I just always live in a haunted house. And I'm going to ask you to recreate the noise that we got in response.
I really can't remember it. Honestly,
are you serious?
Yeah, I honestly can't
remember. That high-pitched, like, growling gargle noise, you don't remember that?
Yeah, I kind of do. I'm sure I could find it somewhere.
I was watching your face. You had the headphones on at your laptop going through the audio, and I was watching your face, and I could kind of hear out of the headphones. And I didn't hear the noise. I just heard me say, did you follow me from Mimosa? And your face was like, and you didn't really say anything. And I was like, let me listen to it. Let me listen to it. And you were like, okay. And you slowly took your headphones off and handed it to me and then played it for me. It was not a noise that I can recreate. It was not. It didn't sound like a girl, but it sounded like a little boy. You know, before they go through puberty.
Sure. Puberty.
And like it was laughingly growling. That's the only way I can describe it. I can't believe you don't. It was like last month.
Yeah, I know, but I can't remember exactly what it sounded like.
I just remember it was one of the worst noises I've ever heard, especially in response to the question. You and I were the only people that were awake in the house. Nothing was making noise. It was before we had a dog. It couldn't have come from outside. It didn't happen. You know, we didn't hear it when we were asking the questions.
Yeah.
It was something else. And just, I've never heard a noise like that before.
Yeah. And so, you know what? I'm going to look for it.
If you can find it, that would be awesome. This was obviously before I had the idea to do the podcast too. Otherwise, we would have kept better track of things like this.
Yeah.
But we never did an EVP session at Mimosa because we were too scared. Or I was too scared.
I never really had anything to do an EVP session at Mimosa.
But you talked about it. You and all your little buddies wanted to have an EVP session. And I was like, no, you're inviting it to mess with me more. I don't want you to do that.
Yeah.
And so, but the difference is I'm not scared anymore. So at this house, I was like, knock it off. We're having a birthday party. Let's do an EVP session. Let's find out. And just,
things have been nice here though.
They have been. There was the thing about the globe in the living room when we first moved in.
Oh yeah. And it fell and like
almost hit Owen in the head.
And then he was laughing.
Yeah.
It was a little creepy.
There was something else that happened too.
I'm sure there has been, but it hasn't been
anything. Both things were when you were home, though. I wasn't here for the two things that happened.
It was stuff that happened to me?
Yeah. One was the globe falling, and then there was something else.
Can't remember the other one.
I don't know.
I don't remember much.
Apparently.
I have a horrible memory. Mm-hmm. You know that.
Yeah. So I guess that really sums up our, that's our ghost story.
Yeah, that's the Mimosa House.
I feel bad for the person who owns it now. Because when we moved out, we had two friends move in for a short period of time. And then the owner decided to sell it and they fixed it up. It looks really good now. I feel really bad for the people living in that house. I hope that they're not dealing with what we dealt with.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing that I think we neglected to bring up is that Gil lived in that house for 5 years before I ever moved in.
Yeah, me and Matt moved in right when we graduated from high school in 2005. And we lived there, you know, I lived there until 2011.
And so you lived there for 5 years before I moved in, and y'all never had anything. But what's interesting is Matt dated and is now married to our friend Wendy. And Wendy is also kind of a believer of things like this, and I hope she's listening to this podcast because, hey, Wendy. But when we talked to Wendy about it, actually at Adia's fifth birthday party, I kind of told her what I thought was going on, and she told me a completely different thing that they noticed or that she noticed. And Matt was kind of like you about it. He wasn't really sure whether to believe it or not, but he was like, okay, Wendy, yeah, sure. I can't speak for them, but what she told me was that she would every night, their window backed up to the side porch door, and almost every night around the same time, they would see someone walk up the stairs, like a shadow through the blinds, walk up the stairs. And then they would always think it was either you coming home or whatever. She made Matt go check a few times, and there was no one on the porch or anything like that. But she said that she always saw that. And there was other things, but I can't really remember. But it was just different. It was interesting to see how, like, Wendy picked up on stuff. But it was completely different than the stuff that I was dealing with at the house. And I remember calling, this is so silly, I remember calling a psychic on the radio. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
And I had randomly gotten through as a caller. And they asked, you know, they screen the calls before you can talk to whoever. And I was just like, I just want to ask about my house. And they were like, well, is it haunted or something? I was like, I don't know. I find out. So
you're calling a psychic and you're like, I want to ask about my house. Like, of course it's going to be some haunted question.
Way to figure that one out. So, but I'm not going to be like, yes, it's haunted. I was like, I don't know. We'll figure it out, won't we? So, and I don't even remember the psychic's name, but I just said, what's up with my house? Like, what's going on? And she said that there were two spirits in the house. One was malevolent and kind of frisky, or like to play jokes on us. And the other one didn't want anything to do with us. He was just kind of there. It was his house or whatever. And he wasn't mad about it. He just wanted to be left alone. And she said the one that we dealt with most was the one that was messing with us or whatever. But for me, and this is something that I'm not even sure I believe in, so it's kind of hard to explain it. But if I had to, I would use the word demonic. I think it was demonic because of the attack on the couch during Barbecue Fest. Because the people always say that ghosts can't hurt you and blah, 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 blah. But whatever this was physically attacked me to the point where I was terrified. And it drained me.
And you know what? I don't know. I don't know what I believe.
But with the heaviness in the house and like,
I will say that in that sense, yeah, there were times that I felt very uncomfortable in the house. There were times, there are things that happened there, and there are a few things that happened here that were weird, and that makes me believe that I do kind of believe in stuff like that.
Thanks for being pro paranormal on my paranormal podcast. That was a lot of peace.
I'm just supposed to be your guest.
Well, yeah. But you're also like kind of co-hosting. You're in a way, we're just telling our story. Nobody's really the guest or the host right now.
Oh, this freeform podcast we have going on.
Yeah. So, but that's our story of the Mimosa House.
You know, I was thinking about today while I was at work. I do have one other thing that happened to me when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah. When I was 12... And this is not a joke. It was Halloween.
I feel like you're really setting me up now.
I was in my backyard, and I remember seeing this big white thing in front of me all of a sudden. And I freaked out and turned around and ran inside. And then I looked out the window, and there was nothing there. It was in my backyard on Halloween. And that's just true.
I don't know what to say about it.
It was
like,
weird.
Like, what was the big white thing like?
It just kind of popped up. It almost really did look like someone in
a ghost sheet.
Yeah, it looked like a stereotypical
How
Halloween.
How old were you, though?
I was 12.
Oh, okay, so you're old enough to understand that if it was a person in a ghost sheet, you wouldn't have known it was a person in a ghost sheet.
Yeah, but it was dark outside, and it happened very quick, and I ran inside, and I looked out the window, and there's nothing in the backyard.
Okay, then that's the part where there's nothing in the backyard. What house was this at? This was in Mississippi.
Yeah, this is in Mississippi. This is right before I moved.
Is this on Bowell Road?
No, this was on Patricia.
Okay.
We drove by that house.
The two-story?
No. It was just one story. I've never lived in a two-story.
Oh, okay.
Other than when I moved here, actually.
Okay.
It was like that small, like, suburban neighborhood.
Yeah. I thought it was a two-story for some reason.
Yeah, it was there. So.
I like that I can't remember what your house looked like in Mississippi, but I can remember what Mark and Sable were doing with chocolate milk one night 4 years ago.
Yeah, it really proves, you know, what's important. What doesn't matter. It's just my house I grew up in.
Yeah.
No biggie.
Yeah. Anyway.
Just molded the man I am today.
Hardly. Hardly a man.
That was mean. I'm never coming
that
back
was
on
a
this
good
podcast.
Joke. You're not welcome back.
All I can do, you know what? We talk about, I'm the executive producer. I'm producing this podcast. All I have to do is cut everything out.
You could totally make me sound like a crazy person if you wanted to.
You know what? I'm actually just going to muffle your voice so you sound like one of those teachers
like
from
a
Peanuts cartoon. Just wah, wah,
wah, wah. Don't do that. Okay, let's wrap this up.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For doing this. This is really big for Gil because he's in the comedy scene and he's going to be made fun of for this if any of the comedians listen to this.
I don't care.
Neither do I, because, I mean, it'll be playful, but at least that means they listen to the podcast. That's what I want.
One more thing.
Okay.
I don't believe in any of this ghost stuff.
Oh my God, Gil. Shush.
Jokes
if you
on
didn't, you.
You
would be supporting me in it. So anyways, for our next couple episodes, we've got some really cool stuff lined up. So make sure you, check us out on iTunes.
And we'll be in 901 Paranormal. We'll be a little more consistent.
Yes, we're working on it. I like to joke that it's easier to find ghosts than it is people to tell ghost stories. So if you have a story, 901 Paranormal is looking for you. We want to hear your stories. You can contact us at facebook.com/901Paranormal. We're also on Twitter at 901 Paranormal. And you can email me at 901Paranormal@gmail.com. Just let me know, you know, your story. Basically, you don't have to tell me everything, but I'd love to have you on the show.
And of course, ohmaudio.com.
Yes, plug yourself.
901 Paranormal.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. The new website's new. I haven't plugged the website yet. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
But, you know, we are looking for you. Do you want to hear your story? Whether it be, you know, ghosts, aliens, angels, demons, whatever it is, doppelgangers came up recently in conversation. I want to have you on the show. A lot of people are afraid to come on and say their names, and I understand that. You can come on anonymously. We can make up a name, you know. It's not,
I can make you sound like a scary robot
or a sexy Australian.
I can't do that.
Oh, I was hoping you'd do that today.
What? You'd
make me sound like a sexy Australian. No,
which, do your best Australian.
I can't. This is not a comedy podcast, girl. This is a very serious podcast.
I just want to know,
candles lit.
Oh,
take,
yeah,
it seriously.
Very seriously.
But yes, so please do that. Check us out. And yeah, thank you for coming on and supporting me and my story.
You're welcome.
I love you.
I love you too.
All right. Thanks for listening.
901 Paranormal is a product of Ohm Audio. That's OAMAudio.com. If you would like to be a guest on 901 Paranormal, you can find us at 901Paranormal@gmail.com, on Twitter at 901Paranormal, or you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/901Paranormal.